of the contract requirements for their contractors.
Thank you. Just one moment, Your Honor. Well, I think you testified to this, but just for clarification here, concerning, in your application, you talk about impact on plant life. You probably remember that testimony. Just out of curiosity, I think there weren't a number of plants that were applicable to this situation, but did you ever use a sampling method of any way to determine what plant life would be affected?
No, there were so few shrubs, trees, and variations in plant life that we did a direct count in all instances.
Okay. Mr. Fawn, do you have any further questions? I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark.
Does it technically begin?
March to June.
Okay, so it's okay, March.
Spring, yeah, she's March to July, excuse me.
The Parks and Rec and a couple of their letters in that document 19 had talked in one email had asked about, you know, can you share any data with us as you find out about the lark.
And all of that information was provided to them, and all the information has also been provided to the commission under tab 7 in the consolidated application. For those of you who are ArcGIS specialists, we loaded all that pretty information up here. And has, yep.
Well, they got whatever info they need.
Whatever info we have already sent to them, yes. Yes.
They also noted one of theirs that they asked to be consulted during the public scoping and environmental assessment. Does that relate to some of the other projects that may be coming down the line?
No, and I would tell you we contacted, and that was the public scoping, you know, the environmental.
Right.
Right, yeah.
I was wondering, is there some further environmental assessment?
At the risk of attributing it to a form letter.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
I probably, all of my questions were not recorded there, but.
Okay.
Any further questions for the commission?
You know, I would ask one.
Commissioner Kramer?
And I, because the issue that Commissioner Clark raised regarding the Parks and Rec request for sharing of data, which I think is probably pretty standard operating procedure, but it struck me again, as it has previous times, although more so probably by the SHPO, how I would be interested to know, first of all, just sort of your general perspective, and then any guidance or thought going forward outside of this particular case or proceeding, or whether there'd be a level of interest in getting a sense of how much the inventory has been enhanced by energy development. Because it seems to me that some of this land has been so thoroughly scoped as a result of development that would previously perhaps not have been. There are a lot of discoveries, minor and otherwise, probably mostly minor, but whether it's wildlife or cultural resources or, you know, whatever it might be. Have you ever thought about it or contemplated creating an inventory of things that your company and perhaps several others have discovered that weren't previously recognized?
Well, I mean, it's safe to assume that the projects that we've been involved with, we keep that data and we put it up on our system. Mm-hmm. So as we get engaged to assist with routing, you know, we'll share. Because all this information is being provided to state agencies.
Yes.
And so it's public information. It's not proprietary from one client to another. Under state law, the archaeologists are required to file that information with the SHPO office. So anybody finding anything, any of the cultural archaeologists that are finding something, are under state law required to send that up to the SHPO office. And obviously, since you know, the, we'll say the early 2000s, you know, all that information's being loaded up and being computerized, and things prior, found prior to that have not been computerized because there's not state dollars to load it up in the database. Not that you can help with that. But as far as the state agency, the wildlife, as a rule, they will request that, and, you know, it's incumbent upon us to request that information be, get permission from the client to submit that. Have never been turned down by any of the people we've been working with. And so I don't know that there's a state law that requires us to share that information. We have an attempt to enhance that. So as other consultants and other firms, because we don't have access to their data, mm-hmm. unless we were to request or get through this one of the state agencies, the state should be, the various agencies should be building up their database so they know where the protected species are likely to exist.
Well, no doubt they are and have been doing that. I would just, as a personal curiosity, and I think, frankly, to the value of industry, I think it would be nice if at some point somebody, some working groups, I don't know whose responsibility it would be, would aggregate all of the fines that have been resulted in energy development. I mean, I'm talking about wind farms, and, you know, probably in wind farms as much as anything, we find a lot of cultural sites that are identified. I just think that asset value to would be an interesting, you know, piece of aggregated information that would, I think, surprise people, frankly. But anyway, that's apart from all of this for now. But thank you for your insights. Sure. I have nothing.
Further questions from the commission? Commissioner Cock.
Just to thank you for your testimony. And just the curiosity, what's a scraper in non-archaeologist term?
They would use flint or stone to scrape the flesh from a hide. Okay. So that they could tan it and then use it for teepees or clothing or whatever else. So it's some little artifact that they would use to prep that leather.
Is that something that if you're not trained, you'd never even recognize something like that walking across North Dakota?
I can only speak for myself, and I'm not trained, and I'm not sure I'd be able to recognize it.
That goes back to Kevin's point, though. A lot of good work out there. Thank you.
Sure.
Any further questions from the commission?
I just replaced the scraper bar on my snowblower. I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised at how many inches of steel can be worn down from cement. I had no idea until I got the new one. I thought, anyway, that's it.
Any further questions from the commission? Follow up by Mr. Bender?
No redirect.
Follow up, Mr. Grumman?
No, Your Honor. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, I do have a couple of questions.
Mr. Fawn.
You talked about precautions that have been taken to protect impacts from adjoining pipelines to a water well.
Okay.
What kind of protections do they take?
I actually pulled the log for that well, and I believe the contract for WBI put a steel casing in, for one, and it's not uncommon that a PVC or the plastic is used. Now, of course, I got to find that. Well, here it is. And not to make a judgment, but it looks like it's only good for about 8 gallons per minute, which is good for maybe 2 toilet flushes. They're obviously using it, but it is a very poor producer. This area of the state, if you look at the aquifers, there is no aquifer, which they define can produce 50 gallons a minute. There's three tiers of production aquifers, one less than 50, which is not an aquifer, that between 50 and 500 gallons per minute, and then the good aquifers from 500 gallons a minute and above. And so this area is actually sited completely in an area that's been identified to produce water less than, you know, 50 gallons per minute, as would be evidenced by that industrial well that WBI put on their site and in the vicinity of pre-existing natural gas pipelines.
So what is the protection that they're hoping to obtain by putting that casing on?
Well, I mean, obviously steel's going to be more robust than, say, a PVC casing.
Right.
But, I mean, this was installed by a licensed water well driller, and given the fact that they were aware of the relative vicinity of a natural gas pipelines, and there's no new hazard being introduced by this project, it would follow logically that there's no new hazard being introduced to that water well because of this project. I guess the other thing is that it becomes a lot easier in the instance that this is a natural gas pipeline system as opposed to a liquid, hazardous liquid pipeline. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the fact that they put this industrial well only a few years ago in and around natural gas pipelines, I mean, they certainly were aware of the risk going into it.
So, you know, like, what's going through my mind is, like, are they trying to protect from, like, are they trying to put cathodic, from cathodic corrosion? Are they trying to protect from some settling, some dirt moving from a project nearby? Or what are they trying to protect from?
I mean, I would tell you it's not uncommon, but it's not usually to use a steel casing. It's also an 8-inch well. So they must have gone in knowing, because your typical water wells are going to be 4 inches. They went in with a big case because they were trying to get some water they weren't expecting. In fact, if you look, one of the things we did during the assessment of this is we looked at the other area wells, and you know, they're very low producer wells, as one would expect given the classification the State Water Commission has given to it, which is it's not on a organized aquifer. So yeah, you can put a well down and get a few. You can run a toilet. You know, have something to wash your hands. It's not a big producer, but obviously they do have a source of water now at that facility for probably, and I don't know this for a fact, but probably for washroom cleaning, maybe some kitchen use. But it's, I mean, this entire area of the state, or this piece at least, in and around this pipeline route, you know, is very low producing yield, you know, water. And so on a relative ranking, if I was going to put this natural gas pipeline, I would want to put it somewhere where the consequences of something bad going on would be very low, and I would say that meets this definition.
Okay, can you define the something bad going on?
Somebody striking the line because they didn't make a call to North Dakota One Call.
Okay.
And so you'd have an unintended release.
And how does that affect the well? I mean,
I would say it would not affect the well, given the type of material that's in the pipeline, which would be natural gas. Natural gas being lighter than air will float away. So it's not like it's going to seep down into the,
right,
the soil. Yeah. And okay, it's not like this is an area that, you know, is producing a lot of water for area residents.
You mentioned construction in December.
Yes.
What if commission didn't, I mean, when are you expecting commission order in this case?
As soon as reasonably practical.
Okay. Next commission meeting, at least the next scheduled meeting is probably, I think it's December 30th.
It is.
So I'm just maybe recommending that we have like a proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law and order.
I bet they will.
Yep. Probably see that next week. Okay. And then we'll, okay. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Grumman?
No, Your Honor.
Follow-up questions by the commission. Commissioner Kramer.
Well, since Pat raised the issue of, I meant to ask this earlier and then I forgot to, but with regard to all of these permits, you know, required permits, that's a condition of the order. Have we always required the same to be a late filed exhibit if it's a condition of the order? I was thinking about the Fish and Wildlife letter. Is that separate?
We've done it both ways.
Is that a question for me?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. The letters support the company's application. The letters that were the responses,
right,
from the agencies, and we're just making sure that they become part of the record. And, you know, our understanding most recently is that if they're not offered as an exhibit at the hearing or in some other way,
yeah,
that they don't become part of the record officially. And so we were just making the record
for that. But there is a lot for time, though. Like if it's a full EIS, oftentimes the commission will say, we may approve it contingent upon the EIS being completed, and then it's on someone else's plate. We need to talk about this when we get back, not today, but it brings up a very good point.
But I guess that maybe to answer Commissioner Kramer's question, that in our certification relating to,
yes,
order provisions, I believe the company certifies that they will not begin construction until they have provided copies of all the of required permits.
Right.
And that's your, that's...
That's my point.
That's your point, yeah. And so...
But that doesn't make him part of the record.
I understand.
That's the problem, I guess.
And I don't, yeah, I guess. Although I, you know, I guess I've always felt we take notice of anything that's in the document, whether it's evidence or not. But anyway, that's another matter. Now, I just have this one curious question that didn't occur to me till Pat's recent questioning. The steel casing in this little well that is designed to help flush the toilet every now and then, is that to protect the well from pipe, or gas activity, or is that to protect the gas line from water?
Well, certainly the gas line does not need protection from water.
Okay.
Okay, the water is, based on the drilling log, came in at like 100 feet, and they pumped her down to 260. I mean, so it's well below sure. where the installation is. And to be honest with you, you'd have to talk to whoever specified that well. But it was interesting that it's steel casing, at least in part of it. And certainly WBI would be fully aware of where they're placing that well. The point I was trying to make is that they installed that well, even though there is a well in the vicinity, and that's one of the concerns that typically the commission has. I'm going to point out that they installed that well well after they installed their pipelines in the area. So this project is not introducing any new hazard to that well.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the commission? Mr. Bender, follow up?
Nothing further.
Mr. Grumman, follow up?
Nothing further.
All right. Mr. Bender, anything further?
We have nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Grumman, anything further for the record?
No.
I don't think anyone has joined the hearing, come into the room since I last asked, but let me ask. I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Ms. Spellman. Let me ask again to be sure, is there anyone present who wishes to offer any testimony or comment to the commission? All right. Commissioners, your closing comments. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you for a productive and efficient hearing.
Commissioner Clark.
Yes, thank you for being here. Look forward to getting the proposed order and conclusions and findings of fact.
Commissioner Cook.
Yeah, the same as my colleagues. Just one point about, do a little more thinking about the when exactly the emergency response plan is filed or is if we put it in the order. That's one thing that, talk about orderly development, we're doing all this pipeline work. It's when exactly do we will make people, if you will, have the emergency response plan. And so that's the only thing that we'll talk about in a work session, which I would hope we schedule very quick so we can vote very quick. Thank you for your great work.
Mr. Bender, anything further for the record?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Grumman, anything further for the record?
No, Your Honor.
Accordingly, the hearing will be closed, subject to the filing of the late filed exhibits. Thank you.